One day we'll publish them. It is a pleasure to welcome everyone this evening, our first Thursday Night Live in a couple of months since Rafter Tisha B'Av, as we begin year three of Thursday Night Live, at least since I've been here, and hopefully we'll get into that a consistent flow of every other week, which is the plan every other Thursday night. I think in 2 weeks and in 4 weeks, the schedule is clear, at least on my end. So I'll be here. Hopefully you'll join me. And we're excited to learn. We're excited to learn together. The impetus for this year, we've had Baruch Hashem in the community already this year since Rosh Hashanah. There have been three Shalom Zachars. It could be in the community. There are more. There haven't been that many Shavasim since Rosh Hashanah. But with Avraham Leah Kelman and Yaakov Anna Farkas and Rabbi Einzig's grandson. The Strouchers are making the Shalom Zachar tomorrow night in town. So I've been to a lot of Shalom Zachars, and over the years, the different thoughts and different sources have heard different things about the Indian of Shalom Zachar. I never really learned it well, and I thought this would be a great opportunity. Also, we're starting the Parshios of Bris Milah in the Imam, and mistake, Yitzchak Avinu's Bris Milah is not in this week's Parsha. I was really just saying if anyone would correct me on that. No one did, which means either you didn't read the email, you have a tremendous amount of Kavod HaRav, so you don't want to correct my mistake. That's probably what it was. Or you just took it for granted that what I was saying made sense, which it did. It didn't. But Yishmael is born. Well, I don't know if that Shalom Zachar for Yishmael, but it's the Parsha of the Bris Milah, so I thought we'd learn a little bit about Shalom Zachar. Some of it might be familiar, some of it not, and hopefully through our learning we'll have a greater appreciation for Shalom Zachar and for some of the topics that come up. So this idea of the Shalom Zachar is actually in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 1, writes, O Nagu Lasos Suda, we should look at the words carefully, Suda Umishta, a meal and a mishta, a feast, a party. Usually mishta refers to something with alcoholic beverages, wine, or the like. Think of mishta of Purim. The Leil Shabbos la'achar shenolad zachar. The Shabbos after a boy is born. Nichnasim etzel atinok litom sham. You enter into the tinok. Etzel atinok. We'll talk later. Let's say the baby's not there. A lot of people like to make a mother still in the hospital. If the mother's baby's born on a Thursday or a Friday or even a Wednesday, if it's a C-section, there's a good chance the baby could still be in the hospital. Some grandparents will make a Shalom Zachar for their grandchildren, even though their grandchildren live miles and miles away. Sounds from the Shulchan Aruch. Eitzel atinok, litom sham, to taste there. V'ugam kein sudas mitzvah. It's a sudas mitzvah. Who cares if it's a sudas mitzvah? So there's relevance to Hilchos Avelos. What an Avel is allowed to go to? Can he go to a sudas mitzvah? Can't go to a sudas mitzvah. But that's the Shulchan Aruch. So Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, which the Aruch HaShulchan points out, it's very interesting. The beginning of the Shulchan Aruch says, what are you supposed to make? Suda u'mishta. And then in the end of the Shulchan Aruch, what does he say? You go to the Tinok? Litom. What does Litom mean?
Taste a little bit.
It's... The Aruch HaShulchan already points out that the language of the Shulchan Aruch is strange. He starts off with Suda Mishta, which sounds like it has to be a whole feast, a whole party. And then he says, you come and you eat a little bit. It's very interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan says, and this he's writing in Europe, he says that they were mevatel not to have a big feast because it's going to be very expensive. It's a significant financial burden on the Balei Simcha. We're also making a bris and a suit of a bris. So just have some candy, cake, and whatnot. But that's the idea of a Shalom Zachar. And the question is why? What's the point of this mishteh, this suda, this ti'ima, etzel atinok? What are we doing? What are we trying to accomplish? I'd like to discuss why Shabbos. You can do it on a Thursday night. You can do it on a Tuesday night. Do it the night before the Bris Milah. And why is it called a Shalom Zachar? We'll get there. Rav Soloveitchik, we'll see, was very against it, as we'll talk about in a little bit. So what's the point? I'm sure people here have heard of some of the reasons. Why do we have this Shalom Zachar? Awkward. Anyone? No one's heard anything. Highland Park Edison is known for the Shalom Zachar. I could say from experience, my Shabbos Provo, when I came to check out my tryout Shabbos, Jordan Kaplan and Shana had Shalom Zachars, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was one Shalom Zachar for two babies. Is there twin boys? That was a Shabbos I was here. And that actually sold me. I came. I was obviously very interested in the position. But coming here and seeing the energy, the excitement, the singing, watching, you know, Michi run the show at your Shalom Zachar. Shalom Zachar is like, wow, why? What's the point?
I don't think it's the baby lost all the Torah.
They'd be lost up there. Okay, we'll see that in a little bit. So why are we going to visit him?
What? I have no idea.
Okay, we'll get there. Anything else?
Well, I mean, to go with that is that this year's was a visit, Kippah Nevela, so they're mourning the loss of the Torah. So
like Nichum Avelim.
Right,
but usually at Nichum Avelim, you don't make a big party. You're jumping up and down and singing L'chaim, Nichum Avelim, right?
That's a modern take on it.
And there's also no Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. Right, there's no Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. Okay, so we'll hold off on that reason to number three.
He has the opportunity to learn Torah.
But isn't that why you have Arbor?
Okay, so good. So let's jump in. The first approach is said by the Trumas Hadeshen and the Maharshal. It's quoted by the Taz, and that's based on the following. The Gemara in source 3 writes, Rav Vishmuel Rav Asi, Iklu Lebei Shavua Haben, the Amri La Lebei Yeshua Haben. They would travel to a Shavua Haben and a Yeshua Haben. So what's a Shavua Haben and what's a Yeshua Haben? So Rashi writes, Shavua Haben, Bris Mila. Why is it called Shavua Haben? Because the Bris comes after a Shavua. And what's Yeshua Haben? Says Rashi, Mishta She'osin L'Pidyon Haben. A pidyon haben is called the Yeshua ben because Yeshua, Unkelos translates as porkin. Porkin means redeem. Pidyon means redeem. Tosafot says it's a big stretch. Yeshua means pidyon haben because Yeshua means porkin, and porkin means podin. That's a little bit convoluted, says Tosafot. So Tosafot's called Rabbeinu Tam. If you look in the second line in source 5, Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, Shenolad Sham Ben, a baby was born. The Al Shem Shehavlad Nosha the Nimlat Mimei Imo Kidirse the Mlita Zachar Naka Loshan Yeshua Vayuragil and Lasos Suda. The baby was born and is alive. We take it for granted sometimes, and the Ezra Hashem, everyone who's going to have children and grandchildren, everything should be healthy, but it's a tremendous sakana. Right, we say, later is a time of sakana. So a baby is born, and the baby is healthy, so we make a sudas hoda. Just like a person is saved from a person in a terrible accident, a person's ill, and they become healed, we make a sudas hoda, we make a Thanksgiving meal. So says Tosos, that's Yeshua Ben. The baby had a Yeshua. The baby was in a tremendous situation of sakana. The baby saved. So we make a suda. The
Trumas
so had.
Right.
Ask the Shach. No. Ask the Dogel Meravava, the Nod Yehuda, on the Shach. Simon Kuf Ayin Ches in Yoridea. According to this Trumas Hadeshen, it doesn't make any sense because the language of the Shulchan Aruch is very clear. So Yisholam Zohar, we're not getting into the Ashkafic issues of Yisholam Bat tonight. It could be a conversation for another time. I don't want to go there tonight. Says the Dogel Meravava, if the Trumas Hadeshen is right, 100% there should be no difference between a Zachar and a Keva, a boy and a girl, and we should have the same Sudas Hodah for a girl being born. Dagam Ravava, Nod Yehuda's Kasha. That's how the Trumas Hadeshen learns. It's a Sudas Hodah. Why Shabbos? Oh, so the Trumas Hadeshen writes, if you take a look at the last line in source 7, we're not going to read the whole thing. He says, it's the last, it's page 2, the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 words on page 2, on source 7 on page 2. The Kava Balele Shabbos, Bishas Shakol Mitzvim Matan. People are healing. You do it on Thursday night. Everyone's learning Thursday night live. People are still at work. People are busy. A Friday night, what's going on? So make the Sudas Hoda on a night that more people come, the more the merrier, pursuing these, whatever. Sudas Hoda on Shabbos.
That's when they used to do Chasim also.
They used to make Chasim for that. That was a different reason. That's because people, they could support the poor. They could support the poor by having a meal. They would have their weddings right before Shabbos, and they would have the meal on Shabbos. And that was a Friday night suda. So back then, the guests would eat in shul. They were supported by the community. So they were able to kind of kill two birds with one stone, have the wedding meal and the Friday night dinner meal. during the day. What they do for a band? They had Mizam room. I don't know. Whatever. Takana wedding. So they only had a guy playing like this. I don't know.
There was some point where they had Goyim play. I think it's.
There's a Mishnah Berurah that talks about this. Where is this Mishnah Berurah? Someone asked me, why can't we do that Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah dancing would be significantly enhanced. Yeah, just get a band. And I don't know if they know all the Jewish songs. Yeah, they can learn it. Yeah, most a lot of the musicians are playing these bands at weddings. Okay, it's a topic for another time, but before next year's Simchas Torah, we'll find out what, if we can. We'll get one, and if not, why not? That's the first reason, the Truma Sadesh and the Yom Shel Shlomo, which the Taz quotes with Harvey's Kasha, the Kasha Damar Vava, 100% had the same thing for a girl. Then the Taz says something very interesting based on a Medrash. Let's read the Medrash in source 10. Amar Rabbi Shua de Sachnin. Rabbi Shua of Sachnin, B'shem Rabbi Levi, Amar, he said the following, Mashal Melech Shenichnas L'Medina. A king comes into the city that he's ruling over. The Gazar, the Omar, he decreed, Kol Achsinin Sheyesh Khan, all guests, anyone who lives in this city, Lo Yiru Panai, cannot see my face, Ad Sheyiru Pinei Hamatrona Tchila, until they see the palace first. You want to see the king? Visit the palace. I guess you could see the godless, you could see the greatness of the king by seeing the palace. See the palace, and then comes some me. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Lo taviu lofanei korban, you can't bring me a korban, ad shetavor alav Shabbos, until there's a Shabbos. Why? She'ein zayin yamin below Shabbos. You can't have 7 days without a Shabbos. Vein mila below Shabbos. And you can't have a mila without a Shabbos. Ha'u d'chsiv v'miyam ha'shmini v'hala yiratzeh. A korban needs 8 days. Mila needs 8 days. A baby who's going to be brought as a korban. There's a lot of symbolism between the baby being brought as for his mila and a korban. Before the baby is brought as his korban, as the mila, the baby should see a Shabbos first. Just like God says, see the palace before you see me. The king says that. So too, God says, before you come to me as his korban, before you're sacrificed, so you should have a Shabbos first. That's the Taz. Now,
what
does it have to do with the party? The baby will have a Shabbos. I mean, that's why God says do a meal on the eighth day, so the baby should see a Shabbos. They point out it's actually more than Shabbos, it's Friday night. Because if the baby was born Shabbos afternoon, you could do a brisk Shabbos morning, the baby saw a Shabbos. Maybe it means see a whole Shabbos, but why have to make a whole party? Why do you need people there? I don't know. The Taz just, all the Taz says is Ra'isi Smach L'zeh. I see a point, a hint to this idea of a Shalom Zachar, and he quotes the Medrash. I don't know. I don't have a good answer to your question. Maybe to see the palace when there's nothing going on, that doesn't bring as much of a kavod to the Melech. To go into the palace during when it's not busy, when it's empty, when there's no hustle and bustle, so you're just seeing a nice building when you can see the palace and people are in the palace and there's movement, there's energy, there's excitement. That brings a kavod to the Melech when the palace is exciting. Bevesel kin the halach beragesh to go to Hashem's palace when there's this maybe, but to just be in a house alone, the question is better than the answer. Anyone? We'll get to that. It's coming to the end. Number three is what Zev said, which I think is the most well-known of answers and perhaps the most difficult. The Drisha says, Masha Nogin B'Shabbos in source 11, the bottom of page 2, Lovaker Eitzel Tino Kanolad Mishum Shu Ovel Al Toroso Sheshachach. The baby is an Ovel. He quotes the Gemara in Nida. The Gemara in Nida, you have it on source 13, you can take a look at it later. The Gemara said that when the baby is in the womb, it learns Kol HaTorah Kula. When the baby comes out, the Malach comes, Kevin Shabbal Avril and Bamach Vesacher Al Piv, and gives him a patch. I don't like that you just did that, I'll tell you why in a minute. Gives a patch on the mouth, U'mishachachal Kol HaTorah Kula, and the baby forgets Kol HaTorah Kula. So the baby was just born. The baby doesn't have feelings. It's 8 days old. Well, maybe it has feelings. You know what I mean? The baby doesn't know anything. The baby is just thinking, I can't believe what's going to happen in the next couple of days. Or he's thinking, you know, why are my father's friends drinking so much? I don't know. The baby is sad. There's a velus. He forgot all. He knew Kol Torah Kula. He was the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world. And then he forgot his Torah. So we come and I guess visit the baby to do almost like a Nichum Avelim because he's on a velus that he forgot his Torah. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked this question. Does a girl forget? Does a girl learn Kol Torah Kula in the mother's womb? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says there's two ways to view it. On the one hand, she's obligated to learn the halachas that apply to her. So she has to learn. We're going to talk in a minute why we learn Torah in the first place if we're going to forget it. But there's no chi of Talmud Torah. Right? There's no chi of Talmud Torah for Talmud Torah's sake. She has to learn so she knows how to keep the halacha. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky has it as a suffix. The Yavit says, based on this suffix, maybe you should have a Shalom Bat also for this reason. That's the Drisha, which is very interesting. Based on this, we're going to skip for a minute. In source 16, if you flip the page over, the Sefer Zechor HaBris, which has a lot of minhagim about Bris Mila and Pidyon HaBen and Shalom Zachar, he says, it's in source 16 where the arrow is, V'lachei nagu l'achol sham adoshin mushar kidneyos. Have lentils. Chickpeas. Why? Because that's minhag avelus. Hakol k'minhag medina, whatever the minhag of that medina is, that's a velus. If you're going to tell me that the baby is an avelus, so we should eat avelus foods.
You shouldn't be doing it on Shabbos.
Oh, so Rav Soloveitchik in Sur 17, Rav Schechter quotes, Rabbeinu Hisnagi, where the arrow is, Hisnagi l'zeh. He was very opposed to this. Remember, she'ein nachon l'tein arbis. It's not appropriate to have chickpeas. Okay? Not appropriate. He goes on to say that the Shulchan Aruch writes, there's no Sudas Havra on Shabbos. The Shach says there is. Do they have that today? Do they do Sudas Havra on Shabbos? Anyone? The Sudas Havra is the first meal after the Kvura. So if the Kvura happened late on a Friday afternoon, the Shulchan Aruch says not to. The Shach says you could.
I think my father won't have that.
He's behind you, so you could ask him.
Didn't you have that? And you ate before.
We ate earlier on Friday.
Right. Yeah. To avoid this problem?
You're hungry,
right? So I'm not sure. It's machlokes the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach. I'm not sure what the minhag is done today. But Rav Soloveitchik says we don't do a Sudas Havra on Shabbos, so you should not have the chickpeas. We're gonna, I think, in a couple minutes explain or maybe a reason why to have that. The other question is if it's avelus, so what are we having a great time? It's the funniest thing. Everyone comes. You're coming to comfort the baby, Shashachach, all the forgot all this Torah, and you're having a great time. Who doesn't love a good... What?
The baby's not usually there.
Oh, so it could be if the baby's not... According to this reason, if the baby's not there, you shouldn't have it. I'll just tell you very quickly. We'll see later on. Depending on the reason, you'll tell me if the baby should be there or not. If you learn it's a Sudas Hodah, to thank Kosh Baruch, the baby's born, you don't need a baby there. Right? You don't need a baby. Where I'm a father and a mother are getting together and they're making a feast to show gratitude to God that their baby is born and safe and sound. You don't need the baby there. You don't need the mother there. I could argue you don't need the father there. Let the grandparents do it. Why not? It's a Sudas Hodah. If you learn that it's the Shia Shabbos first, you don't need a baby there either. I could argue. We don't understand the whole thing in the first place, so it's hard to really make the argument. But if you learn that it's to be menachem the baby, you're not really menachem him because he's 8 days old, 2 days old, he's half a day old. So then the baby has to be there. They point that out. But what does that mean? We're having a great time. It's a velus because the baby forgot his Torah, and we're sitting there having the best time in the world. So that,
you can also look at it.
No, but not according. That's not why I have a Shalom Zachar according to the Drisha. No, according to the Drisha, the reason we have a Shalom Zachar is because the baby's in Avel. Shachach Torah.
Okay, fine. But he forgot his Torah, but he didn't earn the Torah. Until now, you got a little Torah for free. Learned it. But now he has an opportunity to devote his life to learning Torah.
So let's go back. Why does the baby learn the Torah in the mother's womb if they're going to forget anyways?
He has 9 months to sit there.
What's the point? It's like our children sometimes. I mean, I said, well, I got studied for this test. I'm memorizing facts for history. It's not going to help me for my life. I'm just going to study it. I'm going to memorize it. And 2 days later, I'm not going to remember it. Now, that's a hard question to answer. But Rabbi Isaac is the experienced educator here. I'll let him answer that question. I don't have a good answer to that question. But why do they learn the Torah in the mother's womb? What's the point? What's the point?
Soldatik says on Pasuk Karbi Lecha Dabramo, the Fichal Babach Kolasa, so that a person will never be able to say, it's too hard, it's impossible.
So the brother of the Gra, I have it here on page 3. Sefer Malas HaTorah quotes his brother, the Vilna Gaon, and he basically says this idea. He asks, why do we teach the baby the whole Torah? If he's going to forget anyways, what's the point? He says that we say, "V'sein chelkenu b'sarasecha," give us our chelek in Torah. Each person has the ability, and maybe even the mandate, to find their own place in Torah. It's not the same for everyone. It's the same Torah, but we're all going to find our own personal, individual connection with the Torah, the type of Torah we like to learning, how we relate to the Torah. Everyone has their own chelek. That's v'sein chelkenu b'sarasecha. We, our life's mission, says the Gra, is to go back and find what that chelek is. That's why the Gemara Megillah has a language, yagati umatsati tamen. If you work hard and you're matsati, what's matsati literally? You find it. Says the Gra, a metzia is something you lost and you found. Yagati umatsati. What do you mean matsati? Yagati vikaniti. Yagati vilamadati. If you work hard and you learn. Matsati, because it was there. It was yours. The only way we're able to learn is because we had it in us. We can't say, I couldn't. We learned it. We have the ability. And now, because Barclay says, work hard and toil for it. If it's easy for us, if it comes so easy when it's spoon-fed to us, we don't end up appreciating that. People who work hard for their money usually appreciate their money a lot more than someone who just gifted it to them from above. You appreciate it, we can work hard for it, and we can't learn. They even ask the Mefarshim, how does a convert learn? A convert didn't learn Kol HaTorah Kula in the mother's womb. So how is he able to learn when he converts? Maybe retroactively, that's a question that's an interesting question. But the only way we're able to learn, and what gives us the ability, the drive to have that the ethic to work hard, to have the amelus, is because we learned it. So if that's true, it actually is a great simcha. The only way you're going to be able to learn again, the only way you're going to be able to live a life of Torah, is because you have it in you. Don't say it's hard. When you're in class and you're in shiur and it's difficult and you're tired and you don't understand, why is God? You have it. You can live a life of Torah. What greater simcha is there than that? It turns out that adashim, lentils, chickpeas, also have this meaning. Rabbi Noach Sauer from town, from JC, told me that the Medrash in Parshas Toldos, Yaakov sold to Esav lentils. Why are they eating that? Morning, because Aram Yehuda died. The Medrash says, but it was also a food of simcha. What was the food of simcha? That through this he was getting the brachos. So even the chickpeas, the lentils, have that duality. So we come and we tell this kid, this is a tremendous simcha. You're going to be able to learn again. And that makes sense why we do it on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi says that Shabbos was given so Jews can learn. We don't have to work. We have nothing else to do, nothing to worry about. So we tell this baby, look at this Zman Simcha. Look what we could do. On the one hand, we're visiting you because you're sad, but don't worry, things will be much better. And if this is true, I saw something wild. I got to tell all the rabbis this if they want to get out of, if they don't like Shalom Zachar, they want to get out of Shalom Zachar. There's the Chabin Rav, who's a big tzaddik in Eretz Israel. He became a Rav in a town in Europe before he moved to Israel. And he didn't go to Shalom Zachar. The people in the community said, well, this young rabbi is coming in, trailblazing. He's not. The minhag was, the rav would go to the house of the yoledes who gave birth and go visit the parents, the mother, the father, the baby, and Shalom Zachar. He didn't go. They said to him, how can you not go? It's Shalom Zachar. He says, why do you go to Shalom Zachar? To comfort the baby that lost his Torah. You tell them, look what you could become. Look what you can become. If you work hard, you can get it back. Me, the rabbis today, you're going to make it worse for the kid. What, the kid should turn out like Malitsky? So if Malitsky's going to go visit the baby and comfort the baby, that's not a comfort. Yeah, you'll end up being a guy. So he stopped going to Shalom Zach. The point is that it is a simcha. We're reminding the child, look what you can become. You can learn. Look, not to my own horn, look what I did, but yeah. I went to the daf this morning. I learned Mishnayos. I learned Halacha. I went to a shir. I had a chavrusa. You could do it too. So that's a tremendous, tremendous simcha.
Rabbi, if you change your approaches for a second, you say that are its parents, okay?
No, the kid.
I know that. But I'm saying you change the approach and say that it's the parents. So people are coming to be Menachem with their parents. Why? Because they had a child that learned the Torah. It was a great thing, and he forgot it. And that would also explain why you have Shalom Zach, even the baby's not there. Because really, the focus is on the parents. They're, you know, right, they're sad. They're, you know, they need to be...
That's a very interesting approach. It's just, that's an intense approach that, I know there's a big discussion of child who intermarries. It used to be a time where people sat Shiva. You now were saying that they needed Nichum Aveilim just because they have a son who forgot Torah. It could be. It's...
And you turn it on. So look, right. He has another chance to learn Torah, you know, and that's why you do it. If he's not there. And it's a different approach. Who the right. Other area is?
Interesting. Now, if this is true, the Yavetz points out why Shabbos, because Shabbos is a special inyan to remember your Torah. Shabbos is Zachor, Zichru Torah Moshe. We say in Kol Mekadesh. The Yavetz actually said it's not Shalom Zachar, it's Shalom Zachor. Because we're trying to remind him the Torah, help him remember the Torah. So it's Shalom Zachor, not Shalom Zachor. That's why on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a Zman of Zechira. Now, while we're on this topic, I want to share something. It's a little bit off topic, but I just did a little research today, and it's unbelievable. You know, people like to say, and this is why Harvey hinted it, that the reason we have this thing over here, Filtrum, we've heard this before? Yeah, we have the filter because when the Gemara says the Malach comes out, it gives a pot. Now, I don't believe there's any source for that. I think it's Narishkeit. How do I know? Because if you look at the 3-month ultrasound, it already has the filter. So if the Medrash says when the baby's born and Yatzalav or Olam hits it, non Jews have the filter. And I don't believe, and you could search all over, I don't believe there's any source that. The Gemara just says the Malach comes, gives it a pot. The Gemara, it happens to me, we have a thing over here. So there's a famous Maisa, I heard about this. For years, that in Israel in the 1950s, there was a baby born in Bnei Brak without the philtrum, and this baby was in Cheder. You've heard this? The baby was in Cheder. He was 4 years old, and the Rebbe says a pasuk, and he finishes the rest of the parak. It's like, what's going on? The Rebbe says a Mishnah, he starts saying Shas Mishnah as Baal Peh. And this was like a huge tumult, a huge craziness in Israel. Everyone was going, the story goes, they took him to the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe took care of him, and he forgot all his Torah. Whoa. I heard now he's a taxi driver. This would be a good movie. I had heard this. I never really believed it. I was talking to some. I don't know if he hit him or he you know did some stuff that rebbes do. I don't know. I was talking to some people today, and they told me a guy who learned in Detroit. So Reb Leib Bakst was a big Rosh Yeshiva in Detroit. He learned at the Mir in Shanghai and started Yeshiva in Detroit. His son used to be Rav Simcha. He was a Rebbe in Edison Yeshiva, and now he's the Rosh Yeshiva or the Kor Rosh Yeshiva something in Detroit. Reb Leib Bakst used to tell his students this story I'm about to tell you, and I found it written up over here. It's fascinating. He had heard about this. So he sent a letter... to Reb Chatzko Levenstein. Reb Chatzko Levenstein was the Mashkiach of the Panovich Yeshiva. He was the Mashkiach of Mir as they escaped from Vilna to Shanghai, came to America for 2 years, was in the Mir in Israel, then the Mashkiach in Panovich. He was living in Bnei Brak at the time. He sent them a letter. I heard about this. I don't really believe it's true, he says. First of all, what the Malach forgot to give this one kid. No, he doesn't say that's why they have the thing, but he really, the Malach forgot to give him the patch. A, and B, he says, if it's true, send him to America, let's get him on TV, and all Jews will have tremendous emunah. If the Gemara says that he learns Kol HaTorah Kula, the Malach comes and hits him, and now we have a kid who knows Kol HaTorah Kula, and doesn't have the emunah, put him on TV. We'll put him on TV, you don't need all these little lectures and seminars on belief in Hashem, emunah. So Reb Chatzko Levenstein writes, Ha'uvda emeshi. It's true. Ubiti v'chasti, my daughter, my son-in-law, it's from Reuven Ginsburg. Garim samach shtei dirot la'osa mishpacha. They live two apartments away from this family. Ubiti rasas hadavar v'sipra li'adosa. She saw it. I know she gave him a fahera, I don't know. But she saw it, she knew about this. And he says, I want to go see it myself. And he says, I decide not to. Even though I live in Bnei Brak, I'm not so far. He says, the fact that I wanted to go is asas hayetzer. It's the yetzer hara pushing me to go. Why? And this is fascinating. I think it's not so pashut. He says that, where does our emunah come from? Our emunah is avosenu sipurlanu. You can't really ever definitively prove Hashem. I mean, there are people who try to make these beliefs that someone doesn't believe it. They're not so compelling. Avosenu sipurlanu. If I need that, that means I don't have proper emunah. I believe it because my father, my grandfather, that's the masorah I have. I don't need to see it. So he said, I don't want to go. But he says it's a true story. I had heard that, now he's a texture. I don't know if it's true, but this idea that the baby learns Kol Torah Kula, and the Jerusha is saying the reason we have the Suda, the Mishnah, is to bring a Nichum for the baby. And the idea is that we're trying to tell him that he could come back. He had it in him. Let's just share.
Did this boy have a shalom zaken?
They didn't know until he started talking. One other. I'll share. There are a couple more, but let's do one more. Reason number four. This is the Rav Schechter quotes in source 19, the bottom page 5 from Rav Soloveitchik, which is that the Rambam writes that when a person is in a situation of bikuach nefesh, person in a situation where their life's at risk, don't get a non-Jew, don't break Shabbos through a child or through a slave. Who should be mechal Shabbos for the one who's in pikuach nefesh? Gedolei Yisrael v'chachamehem, which is somewhat counterintuitive. I would have argued that the gedolei Yisrael, don't let them be mechal Shabbos. The Rambam says not the way. The Rambam says that when there's a situation of pikuach nefesh, the gedolei Yisrael should break Shabbos to save the person. So an isha, when she gives birth for 7 days, for a lot of halakhas, is considered to be a chola, sheyesh bo sakana, she's in a situation of sakana. So the rabbis would go, and they'd bring people with them, they would go to see if they need chil Shabbos to heal them. So that's the reason. Why do you eat there? So I don't know. He doesn't explain how that makes sense, to why the Shulchan Aruch says that you make a suda and a mishta and a te'ima to taste. But he says the rabbis would go. If the rabbis are going to go, everyone else is going to go. I guess you have food, because if people are showing up the house, you got to feed them. But the reason you're going is very practical, because you might need to do pikuach nefesh to save the yoledes who just gave birth. She's a cholah sheyesh bo sakana for 7 days. So the rabbi would go. The rabbi goes. I mean, nowadays people go the other way, but back then, the rabbi would go, people would follow, and they'd go for a shalom.
Same question about a daughter, then.
Yeah.
And the baby has to be there. Right?
Really, the according to the second reason we saw, you definitely would not do it for a girl. Because it's about Mila. Before the Mila, there should be Shabbos. Mother, yeah. That's only true for boys. And according to the third reason of Torah, one could question whether an Isha learns Kol Torah Kula in her mother's womb. Oh, because they need Chil Shabbos.
What about your Shabbos day?
Well, I guess they'll go Friday night and they'll see what the situation is. If things are tight, if things are tricky, they'll go back. They'll go check to see if they need any. Now, she's not a Chol Sheish Pasakana in every aspect, but in a lot of aspects. Two last, there's more to say, but we're running out of time. If the baby's not there, so we address that. If you learn that it's because of the Shabbos for the Mila, probably yes. If it's Suda's Hoda, yes. If you learn it's because he forgot his Torah, then they're not. According to our Soloveitchik reason, it would all depend on if the mother's there. If the mother's there, yeah. If the mother's not there, no. It shouldn't matter if the baby's there. The last thing, which is interesting, is what happens if a baby is born right after Shabbos starts. Okay, so let's say this week, baby's born at 8 o'clock. So you do the Shalom Zachar that night or the week before? Or the week later, I'm sorry. The week before, she's still pregnant. Yeah, it's been a long week, I'm sorry. Just seeing if you guys are paying attention. That was good. The week later or that night? And why? We do the week later. But why?
There's no time to prepare.
So the Prima Gadim actually says, halachli, you should do it right away. Okay, if it's a sudas hoda, so it makes sense. The baby was born. I mean, you might want to wait to see if the baby's okay. But the baby was born. The baby survived a delivery. The baby's okay. So do it right away. If it's a Shabbos before to have a Shabbos, that means that it has a Shabbos. Why should it be this Shabbos over next Shabbos? If it's a Shachak Temu, I think according to all reasons, it makes sense to do it right away. So the Sefer Abris, which Rav Lubin apparently said the Mechaber used to come to town a lot. Rav Piratinsky, I think it's Rav Lubin's Chavrusa, he used to come to town. That Sefer is magnificent. Yeah, it's like 400 or 500 pages tall. It's unbelievable. So he quotes in here that the minhag is to do it the next Shabbos just for practice. First of all, how does people know if the baby is born on Shabbos? You can't send out a text or an email or make phone calls. How are you going to prepare anything? So practically, you do it later. There is a big discussion, I didn't see a lot of people talk about this. If you know the bris is going to be delayed for weeks, so when to do Shabbos on? Every week, Suffolk Shalom Zachar Lechumra. Now you're thinking.
I do think if a baby's born on Friday afternoon before Shabbos, then the Shalom Zachar is still that Friday night. So as long as
because the birth is going to be next Friday, there's not going to be another Shabbos. Okay. But let's say a baby is born very prematurely, and you know there's not going to be a birth for a month too. People know what are they? What's the minhag? Anyone know? I don't know. Hopefully, it shouldn't happen. Baby should be born in time. But that's certainly the reason about Shabbos should tell us something about the Shabbos. Shabbos is its matrona that needs to be developed a little further. And for us, we can remember that we had the Torah. As difficult as it gets sometimes, to remember that we have it in us. There's a simcha that we get to try to reacquire what we had, and we should all.
So is the preemie not finished?
That's a good question. Once a baby's born too much premature, so they only got through like 3/4 of shots. What happens to? Yeah, what do they do if they're late? They do chazara.
Speed learning.
Interesting, and they all take the same amount of time. Like when the baby's smart and a smarter child, are they smarter in the room? They only get smarter when they come out. The Malach has more patience. I guess he's a good Rebbe. That's differentiated learning. I'd say you have twins, and they're not on the same pace. That's the first example of differentiated learning. All right, everyone should have a wonderful evening, a wonderful Shabbos. Mazel Tov.
Thank you very much.